Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We wanted to find out what relationship the Holy Quran should have in our lives, a question really that many of us probably have asked, and some of us really want to find out how we can become closer to the Holy Quran and really make the Quran a part of our life. So in order to answer some of these questions, we decided to invite Sheikh Muzaffar Haider to the talk show. Let's go ahead and invite him. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, Assalamu alaikum and wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
Jazakallah for coming, taking time out of your busy schedule. This is kind of a question that a lot of us have is, we know the importance of the Holy Quran. You know, we know that we should be reciting the Holy Quran, but I think there's a lot of small pointers in between these kind of questions and how we can make the Quran a part of our life. So, I mean, just with those kind of questions in mind, I think maybe we should go ahead, start the show and kind of see where it takes us. Bismillah.
Yeah, no, having that connection with the Quran is very important. It's increasingly important, especially in today's day and age. Right. Imam Khomeini's emphasis on the Quran, Imam Khamenei, the current Wali al-Faqih's emphasis on how important it is, not just to read the Quran, but the word I believe you used is uns, to have that.
Yeah, we in Farsi they say uns ba Quran.
How intimate.
Yeah, this friendship, this love.
Friendship, right.
With the Holy Quran.
Yeah. You're building a relationship with the Quran. Right. It's a living thing. Okay, it's a living thing. Right. There are times where when you get connected with the Quran, your brain goes to a different level.
Right.
Okay, and then when you meet somebody else who also has that connection with the Quran, you just start talking with them a little bit and you'll realize that this person also reads the Quran.
Right.
Out of so many of the Muslims, this will happen with like 1 in 1,000.
Right.
It's a sad reality.
Right.
And the Quran itself testifies to this reality, by the way, right? وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخِذُ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. The Prophet cried out, the Quran is saying, Prophet cried out, he complained. He said, Oh my Lord, surely this qawm of mine, my people, have abandoned, forsaken, left behind this Qur'an.
Right.
Okay, so the Qur'an, the word of Allah itself is testifying that.
And it's living. I think as you brought the, you know, you said that it is living. It's a living being, let's say.
It is a miraculous word.
And really it is a living being. I mean, so for example, you know, they say that in the holy month of Ramadan, those who recite the Holy Qur'an, the Holy Qur'an comes in the barzakh or in the day of Qiyamah as a beautiful youth and testifies to you or to me or to anybody who read the Qur'an.
Yeah.
So it is a living being and something that really I think a lot of us should keep in our minds and in our hearts as we recite the Holy Qur'an.
This is a thing that a lot of people out there will find difficult to get their
heads around,
right?
Of course,
The idea that so many of the things in this world, in that world, actually become
manifested,
living.
Yeah.
Look at the nature of human beings to personify images.
Right.
One of the first images that children learn to identify is the face, right? They can identify a face. And that's why if you try and remember back to when you were a kid, you start seeing faces everywhere.
Yes.
You know, if you see a tree, you'll be like, oh, there's a face there. Or if you're trying to sleep and you see like a wall in a certain shape, you'll see a face. Human beings naturally are very quick at identifying faces in the clouds, wherever. This is, I feel it's an allusion to the fitrah, the divine nature of human beings. And it's actually alluding to the fact that everything really does have a personified reality.
Right.
We just don't understand that reality right now.
Right. We don't see it because of these physical veils of the eye.
Yeah. Do you remember the cartoon, The Magic Toaster? The little toaster, The Adventures of the Little Toaster?
Yeah, I remember it's quite scary. So it was a toaster. And a vacuum cleaner and like a lamp.
I don't even remember it.
The lamp was really scary. They were all scary, man. It was a scary cartoon. Yeah.
But there's so many examples like that, right? Where we, as human beings, feel the need to give inanimate objects human traits.
Right.
Why does that exist in us? Why do we feel the need to do that? It's because so many of the existence, this may be part of the wisdom behind it, so much of existence really does have a almost personified humanistic right, right. reality. Anyway, so put that in the back of your mind somewhere. When we come to the qabr, when we die, or you know, when we're shaheed, we're going to see so many of our a'mal in human form.
Yeah, right.
And you're right, sorry. The Quran is the...
living existence, living being.
There's this beautiful hadith actually that says that at that time you will see a beautiful kind of friend almost. Mm-hmm. And it's coming towards you, but then it goes away. And you say, why are you leaving? Mm-hmm. Why? I really want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you more. And it comes and it says, I am that verse of the Quran that you memorized, but then you forgot me.
Allahu Akbar, yeah.
Right. And so when really, you memorize verses,
really,
try
yeah,
keep
when you
them.
Memorize verses, so and interestingly, on the Day of Judgment, to add to that, you know, we find these traditions where it says that the angels will proclaim or ask the people to recite verses of the Quran, and every verse of the Holy Quran that they recite, they are elevated a status in the paradise.
Sant. Okay, now, what kind of recitation is that?
Yeah, and this is one of the things that we wanted to talk about. When we're talking about familiarity, love of the Holy Quran, is this recitation merely limited to just reading the Arabic and that's it?
No.
Just absolutely.
Flat out, no, it's not about that. Yeah. Because what you're doing physically is just flapping your mouth and your tongue and your lips and your throat around. That is not what we're talking about, right? In fact, think about, let's say there are verses of the Quran that you did memorize and then you forgot them. Why did you forget them?
Yeah, because they didn't apply to you.
They didn't apply. Yeah. They didn't apply. The real wisdom behind memorizing verses is you're memorizing verses which apply, which are applicable in your life, which when you hit low points, they can get you high again.
Interesting.
Which when you encounter a burden or a fitna or a test, the verse guides you and it tells you how to differentiate between right and wrong. When you're faced with some sort of internal turmoil and you can't find the answer, a verse of the Quran comes and gives you that answer.
Right?
Ala bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest, the Quran says. Right? And so you might memorize that verse, but unless you use it, it's not going to become a light for
you.
Yeah,
it's not. And I mean, here I do want to kind of add a tangent type thing. Not really. So now I don't want this, this idea to dissuade anybody from actually opening and reading the Arabic.
Yes.
If you're opening, you know, first off, you know, kudos, mashallah, mashallah, you're actually taking the book, you know, off the shelf, and then you're bothering to open it, and then you're reading the Arabic. This is the first step. But that is not where we're limiting to. The real power, right, of the Quran, it's not like some kind of magical enchantment, even though it has, you know, I would humbly say, miraculous powers, right, within it. But it's not this book of incantations, right? Meaning it's not limited to just this mere recitation. Yes, it has value and sawab and reward and all these things. But the real power of the Quran comes, as you said, where it becomes a living guide.
Said, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you pointed that out. We don't mean to dissuade people from reading the Arabic.
Right.
And, you know, just listening to the Quran and the sound of it, all that's good as well. It's good, all right? But that is not where it should end.
Right. That's just the simple beginning, right? For you to get to these
you get
deeper
reward
levels.
For it. Yeah. You get ajr for it, right? You get sawab for it, as we say. But that's not... Is that the purpose? Does the Quran itself say that that's the purpose of reading it?
No, so hudan lil-nas.
Hudan lil-nas, hudan lil-muttaqeen. It's a guidance.
It's a guidance.
For humanity, for...
So you have to understand what the Arabic is how you're going to be guided. And they're very simple things. And I think sometimes over the centuries, right, now perhaps, the enemies of Islam might have had something to do with this, or perhaps it was just squarely rests on the, you know, the shoulders of the Muslims. That, you know, why did we limit it to just the Arabic and just incantation and just recitation and just... It sounds good, and we didn't bother to go into... I mean, to me, it's really amazing because we witnessed this on kind of a large scale. It's a very common thing where, for example, in the holy month of Ramadan, one of the things that I find myself struggling with, because it's the spring of the Quran and is when the Quran was revealed, so it's highly recommended to recite the Quran. I find myself between two things, right? One is kind of speed read the Holy Quran in the Arabic and finish the whole Quran in that month. But then on the other hand, I find myself saying, why don't I try to understand what the Quran is saying, as compared to just speed read and, you know, kind of get it over with?
Imam Ali alayhi salam said very clearly, do not read the Quran to finish the chapter.
Right.
Don't try to finish the chapter.
To just get it over with.
Stop. Yeah. Contemplate. Okay, now, he also explains how to contemplate. Because when we say, you know, contemplate over it, think about it, people get... He says, look, every time you reach a place where it's talking about the reward of Allah, the divine reward like Jannah, stop and ask yourself, how can I attain that Jannah?
Yeah.
Every time the Quran talks about the adab of Allah, the punishment of Allah, stop and think to yourself, how can I avoid that? How can I be saved from that punishment? Then usually the answer will be right there, glaring you in the face, right in the verses before it and after it. And that's another point as well. Sometimes you'll stumble across a verse and you'll be like, wow, what is this actually saying? Go to the verse before it and after it to gain a little bit of the context.
Yes, right? Yes.
Another tip is to just open the Quran to a random place. I'm not one of those who's going to say, you know, you need to have a set routine. Make sure you set an hour a day aside for the Quran, or 2 hours a day, or make sure that you...
Even though it works for some people.
It may work for some people, and that's fantastic. But the reality is that people are very busy in today's time, you just don't have time for it. And then you finally want to read the Quran. I don't have wudu, so I'm not going to read the Quran. Yeah. And then you go to the bathroom, and then your wudu breaks, and then you just
don't... Then I have to read it for 1 hour, and then it becomes more of a hassle.
To get
yourself
into the mood for reading the Quran is more difficult than reading the Quran itself.
Right?
And so... Do away with that middle kind of, I need to be in this spiritual place, and get rid of that. Have a Quran app. I always say this, and I emphasize it again and again and again. Have a Quran app on your phone, if you have a smartphone.
Right? I'm still the traditional, just pick up the book and open it up. But no, everybody has a phone nowadays.
Everybody, apart from has a smartphone, right?
Right.
Have a smartphone and get a Quran app. They can be downloaded for free or whatever one you like. And in the free moments in your day,
right?
You're standing in front of the microwave, you're waiting for it to beep, beep, beep.
And give you all the microwaves.
Open it, read one verse, right? Read two verses, think about it. Beep, beep, beep. And then you take it. You're waiting for the bus. You're just about to go to sleep. The thing is, you're going to be checking your phone all the time because you are a social media junkie, or you have some sort of video game, or you're just out of constant habit, you're just picking it up and checking it, even to check the time.
Ahsan.
In those pockets of opportunities, just fill it with little bits of the Quran. Yeah. You're so eager to hear what others have to say, what other messages you have.
This is very nice what you're about to say.
What about Allah? And man,
are you not
nice?
Eager?
It's nice, but at the same time, it sounds like cringeworthy, and it's like, oh, that's such
No, it's true. I mean, it's true. We are willing to listen to what everybody has to say. And okay, I understand if it's a religious scholar, if it's the ulama, you know, then okay, fine. You know, you do kind of. But so much of the stuff on social media is just garbage, and yet we are willing to digest and ingest all of this stuff. But we won't take out time to be able to listen to what the Almighty God has to say.
I mean, I talk to so many people out there, and somewhere along the lines of the discussion, it's usually, you know, sometimes it's even because they have a misunderstanding of the religion. And so I'm trying to, you know, bring them back and make them understand the concept. And at some point, they recite a verse. And this verse, for whatever reason, is a particular verse for that person. Yeah. It's stuck with them from childhood, and they've just attached themselves to it.
Right.
And that same verse guides them.
Right.
You know, that's the way it works. It's not about quantity, it's about quality.
It's about quality. You brought up this idea about youth. I think this is another thing. We have to be careful and kind of strategize and plan how we want to teach our children Quran.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we put so much pressure on a child just to read the Arabic and just to finish the Quran, that it becomes a burden, rather than kind of creating this love and this ons with the Quran.
It's a very good point, and it's one of the worst things that we can do.
Right.
I still have traumatic experiences from my youth, you know, getting told off and be like, and you know, you know, having to recite it. I hated the Quran. I'm going to be honest.
Most people at that age, when they are forced to just read this Arabic and not understand, you know, and then it's like two pages. It's like, you know, oh my God, this is two pages? You know, wait a minute. Are you talking about two, like, front and back, or two pages as in, like, one page front and back, you know? This is a huge disservice to our youth who really should have this love for the Quran, you know?
Yeah. I would say, first of all, do it gradually, in the sense that they should see you reading the Quran
at
a very young age. And I'm saying this because I've got kids under the age of four, and I've seen this really work. And I wasn't really trying to get them to interact with the Quran, but they would see me sitting and just reading the Quran. And so they would come over and be like, "Daddy, Daddy, what are you doing?" And then eventually it got to a point where they would pick up little Qurans of their own.
Just sit down and just kind of...
They'd start being like, right?
Asante.
And I'd be like, "Oh my God, what's happening?" You know, subhanAllah.
Or they'll pick up a tasbih.
Yeah.
Or rosary beads, and then they imitate,
they imitate us, and that's the first thing. Second thing is, start feeding them little bite-sized things and praising them a lot for those little things. So, for example, words like, we tend to teach them surahs,
right?
It's usually Surah Tawheed, Surah Kawthar first, because they're the short ones, they're the easy ones. And that's great, and that's really good, and we should do that more. But they should feel happy when they're reciting it.
Like, exactly.
Good, well done. And they love it. They're like, "I can do it." And it gives them that encouragement. But also little snippets like, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So for one of the things I taught my daughter is, look at the sky. It's so beautiful. It's raining.
Yeah.
Subhanallah. And so she says it.
This is really something, I actually taught my kids the same thing too. They watch television and they see this awesome desert or the underwater, you know, fish and jellyfish. And they're like, "Wow." And I said, "No, you know what? This is something Allah has created." So you say subhanallah.
Okay, now that seems like a very small thing.
Yeah.
But how many times is subhan recited in, repeated in the Quran?
Right.
Insha'Allah, how many times is it repeat? Throughout the Quran, it is this dhikr, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All of these things, those snippets, they're not just saying them in a tasbih. They're saying them in context.
Exactly, Subhanallah. They actually understand the connection between what they're saying and what they're saying.
And that is going to have so many fruits for them going forward, Insha'Allah. You know, they're watching...
Yeah,
I just said it, right?
Yeah.
When they're watching a nature show, they're going to be reminding themselves of Allah. What happens is we make Quran something boring, tedious, separate from day-to-day life.
Yes.
But what we need to do is bring it into day-to-day life, and this is part of the... Sorry, I know we're running out of time, but the third thing is use videos.
Right.
There are some really good videos out there, children's videos, where they're reciting the Quran.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of good examples out there, and I think that those are effective too.
So, you know, Sheikh Muzaffar, there's one thing here also, because we kind of really talked about understanding the meanings of the Quran and the depth of the Quran. And again, my fear is that for example, some Muslims who grow up in the West, meaning in non-Arabic, non-Persian, non-Urdu-speaking countries, right? And because what happens is, when you live in a Arabic country or a Farsi-speaking country or Urdu-speaking, because
pick up,
the letters, the letters are the same in their alphabet, so it's easier. But for, you know, us who grew up in the UK or the US, and, you know, it's English-based, it's Latin-based, whatever, you know, alphabet, it's kind of difficult to read the Arabic. So what happens is, some of us totally avoid reading the Arabic and just go straight to the translation, right? I kind of wanted to bring it up as a tangent or as a caveat. Listen, no. Reading the Arabic itself has not just value, but it has power.
Oh, it does.
You know,
yeah.
And so we don't want anybody to think that, no, I shouldn't read the Arabic. I mean,
no.
So the Salah is in Arabic. And the Holy Quran, as we say, is the word of Allah. That means that Allah spoke in this language.
Yeah.
To the Messenger of Allah.
Asad.
So even the second step, for example, and I'd like to get your comment on this, is that so we read the recitation, the Arabic, we read the translation, and slowly we start to make the connection.
Yeah.
Allah, Akbar, great.
Yeah.
So what happens is you slowly over time start to understand the natural meaning
Asad.
In the Arabic.
Yeah.
Subhan, right? So from Sabaha, which is to glorify, right? So Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. And then you really enjoy the Arabic, not just the translation, but the Arabic in the Arabic,
right.
You know? Yusabbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. And so you see, you understood it in the Arabic and it's very powerful. I don't know if you
wanted to say a point about that verse,
yeah,
but yeah,
yeah,
no, coming to the Arabic point, one thing we've been implementing in the SOQ sessions.
Right.
And that's reading the English first.
Yes.
Usually you read the Arabic first, then you translate it.
Yeah.
Right? But sometimes it helps us to read the English first. Why?
Right.
Because when an Arab person is reciting a verse, right? They are simultaneously getting the rhythm of the Quran and how it sounds precisely and the meaning.
Yes.
That's what has the maximum effect on the soul and on the heart.
Asad, yeah.
Whereas for us, we're getting the sound of it, we're getting the rhythm of it through the Arabic, but we're not getting the meaning. Right? That's like only getting 50% of it. Then we read the English. Why don't we first read the English?
Get the meaning.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All praise is due to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
All praise, everything that is worthy of being praised, is for Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds. Okay, get this meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now recite the Arabic. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
You just had the meaning with the
so now you have that
and
meaning,
the Arabic
right?
At one time.
Ahsant. Now, once you've got the meaning, it's in your head. You've got the meaning in your head. When you hear the Arabic, or when you recite the Arabic now, that meaning is going to go down into your heart.
Yes.
So that's one tip. The second tip is, don't compare yourself to others. Please, just don't compare yourself to others. There are so many reciters of the Quran, your peers, especially you'll look at them, other scholars, you'll say, oh, that person, the Imam Khomeini would recite or the Imams, alayhim wassalam, they would recite an entire Quran in a single day. And you get overwhelmed and you're like, that's not you, okay? And don't look at others. You have a certain potential. That's all that really matters, okay?
Compare yourself to yourself, pretty much.
And that's all that matters to your recitation of the Arabic.
Sure.
Your recitation may never be as great as somebody else's.
Like Abdul Basit.
It's never going to be an Abdul Basit, for example. It may never be. It might be, it may never be, right?
Yes.
Allah only cares about how much effort you've made.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty.
Bilal, Hazrat Bilal, the great companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he couldn't, his tongue was such, his accent was such,
right,
that he couldn't
say
differentiate
sheen.
Between seen and sheen.
Right.
And yet the Prophet said the sheen of Bilal is the sheen of...
Yeah. Is more acceptable than... Because people came and they complained to the Holy Prophet, right? They said, hey, why you got this guy giving the azan, right? His seen and his sheen, he can't, you know, make a differentiation. When in reality, it wasn't between sheen and seen. It was the fact that, you know, this person from Africa, this black person who was considered a slave among the status quo, all of a sudden you have him giving the azan, you know, what's going on? Choose one of the Arabs. It was like this prejudice, racist type thing, right? And so then Allah says, no, that the sheen, when it should be the sheen, of Bilal is more acceptable to Allah than your sheen that should be the sheen, you know?
Yeah.
If I didn't mix
yeah,
it up,
no,
but
no.
you got the you
they got the
point.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
But then you can't pronounce Ayn, Dad.
Right.
It's one of the most difficult
Dad is supposed to be one of those letters that they say only the Holy Prophet is able to perfectly pronounce.
Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Holy Prophet, I've heard.
Yeah, yeah, the Ahlul Bayt.
They are the only ones who could. Yeah, and then you have like gradients of people who can recite it better and better.
But it's
as long as you are doing your best, you try your hardest to do it. Right. Okay, so that's the second point about the Arabic. The third point is, I don't really have a third point. There's probably 100 points.
No, there's thousands of points. I think we took enough of your time. I want to appreciate you coming to the talk show again, taking time out of your busy schedule and talking about something that is really is something that's a key aspect of our lives. If we are able to, and we didn't talk about so many aspects that we wanted to of the Quran, how it brings hope, how it brings, you know, fear of disobeying Allah, how it tells you about the future, tells you about the past. I mean, this, you know, but we're going to leave it to that, and inshallah we're going to hold you to another talk show that deals with the Holy Quran, inshallah, because clearly you have this uns and this love for the Holy Quran.
Allah, pray that I do gain it, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider. And dear viewers, thank you. We talked about having this relationship with the Holy Quran and how important it is, not just for us at a relatively older age, but even with our youth, and how we should help our youth to establish a connection and love for the Holy Quran. Until another talk show, that's all from us. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.